I want to talk about Holy Scripture and preaching of the Word, one. And I throw some bubbles. Yeah. And would you look at the title? Because I love the title. I love this title. Holy Scripture and the preaching of the Word, one. And I'm going to be talking about Scripture today, and I want to talk about preaching of the Word next week. Okay? Holy Scripture, Biblia Sacra, and that became the official title of the Bible in 12th century, okay? Bible is Holy Scripture because it's God's Word and because it's separated from all the other books in the world. Are you listening? This is something you have to understand. There is a Bible and then all the other books in the world, holy, separated, completely different. Why is it different? Because Scripture is God's Word. I don't know how you receive it, okay? But it's God's Word. There's nothing of man was put into the Bible, Calvin says. We're going to look at it in a few minutes. And he lives in it, Calvin says. He lives in it. Did you know that? I don't have a... I use iPad for my eyes, but... You know, the Bible, he lives in the Bible, okay? And he seeks men, just like the garden, someone says, okay? Here, we are at the end of 2 Timothy. We're moving into chapter 4, very end of his life. What is he talking about? Two topics. You know what the topic is? Scripture, the Word, and the preaching of the Word. Okay, we're going to look at the text today. Oh, I'm so sorry. We got to do scripture reading. Yeah, Kelly, please. I'm so sorry about that. Please come forward. It's okay.
Could you also after reading
the passage? Here, Kelly.
Today's text will be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. To 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from being bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. You may now be seated.
Sorry. Okay. We talked about being a lovers of God from the haters of God. Those are the two options we have. We were born as lovers of self, haters of God. And how do you become lovers of God? Right? How do you get to know him? Right? I think two things need to happen, I believe. Scripture needs to be opened in your life, need to be opened. Okay? And secondly, your heart and my heart need to be transformed from haters of God to lovers of God. And they go hand in hand. Okay? I want to start it out with a Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, what Paul says to church in Thessalonica. If you could just look at this. We also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you have heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Okay? Speaks about the attitude as you listen to the word of God. Speaks about attitude when you open the scripture. Okay, how do you receive it? How do you receive it right now? I think this is so critical. Okay? It says, when you receive the word, do you receive it, which you have heard it from us? You accepted it as not as a human word, but actually is the word of God. God speaks today. And how does he do that? Through human means. Human means, right? How many of you believe God is in this place? You do, right? Then how does he speak to you? Right? It's through the word. Through the proclamation of the word, through the preaching of the word, through the teaching of the word. And that's how he does it. Okay? So I want to start it out with that. Before we get to the text, Eric Metaxas, an American author who wrote Amazing Grace, the biography of William Wilberforce, recently written an article in Christian Post, okay? And the topic of his article is this. It's very interesting if you just listen to this. Why are the young generation of America are leaving the church and become atheists? Okay? Why are the young generation of America are leaving the church and become atheists? He wrote in this article, contrary to what the churches used to think, this is what church used to think. The reasons like they're leaving because it's the boring, irrelevant sermons, okay? Or rigid services. We need to be seeker sensitive, okay? We need to be relaxing, like our church service style, okay? Or Christians so behind in the culture. These are the things, reasons people used to think why people are leaving the church. But in his article, he did a study with a bunch of young people who participated in this study who grew up in the church, okay, like yourself. Okay, often as active members, as leaders, and these are the two reasons he gave, main reasons. Could you listen to this? The first reason is, okay, it's because pastors and churches that do not take scripture seriously. That's the first reason. Pastors and churches do not take the scripture seriously. Okay? The teaching of the Bible declined over the years because they want to try to meet the young people's interests. Okay? We got to do some more activities and lessen the study of the word. Okay? Let's be friends to them. We got to be relevant and be friends to them, okay? And focusing on not boring the young people. That's why people are leaving the church, according to Metaxas, okay? And the second reason he gave, which is very interesting, why people are, young people are leaving the church, is this. Preaching and the proclamation of God's word without convictions and assurances from the pulpit, okay? Really? Is that why people are leaving the church? Here, this is his explanation. Churches, we used to fear and worried about the message is too strong, okay? If the message is too strong, the young people will leave because they can't handle it. However, the studies show that it's the opposite. He wrote, okay, this is what the young people say. If someone preach with conviction and assurance, at least we could respect that. If not, why bother? That's their rationale, right? So what are the reasons the young people are leaving the church in America and becoming atheists? Atheists meaning they don't believe there is God. Two reasons. Number one, it's the word, right? It's the word. The word is not taught and taken seriously in the churches. And the second reason is preaching of the word without conviction. Who would want to listen to that, right? So those are the two reasons. Interestingly, it speaks about two topics that we're dealing with, about the scripture and about the preaching of the word. Today we look at the text, okay, and I wanted to divide it into two messages because it is so good and there are so much to t- talk about. Okay, reading from 15, how now from infancy you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scripture. Now, can I ask you, when Bible says Holy Scripture, what does that refer to? Timothy, you need the Scripture ever since your infancy. What does that refer to? It refers to Old Testament, right? Jewish Bible. Interesting. Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So much in it there already, right? Old Testament, you could lead to salvation? Are you saying Bible and salvation has a direct correlation? According to Paul, it is, right? Then he says the famous two verses, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful or profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that man of God or servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through what? Through the Scripture. We're talking to, not you, a Bible illiterate generation, this whole generation. Bible illiterate generation. People grew up without the Bible. People don't read, right? And it's saying Scripture, God is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and equips the man of God thoroughly so that you could do the work of the Lord, okay? And then this is for next week, but this follows, okay? This is for next week about preaching. Listen to what Paul's final exhortation is. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And he will, right? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, he's coming back. In other words, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead. I give you this final charge. What is the final charge? Preach the word. And, you know, I was just thinking about this word this week. I knew I'm going to be standing, Lord willing, on this Sunday, today, right now, in front of you. But his exhortation is, I need to preach the word in light of me standing before him. Does that make sense? Right? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. Very interesting. Patience is very difficult. But it says great patience. You want to preach the word? You want to do ministry? Great patience and careful instruction. So I want to talk about preaching next week, but I want to talk about the scripture today. Okay, there are much to talk about here. I want to start it out with this word right here, from infancy. Can we teach the scripture to young children? Does it make any difference? Absolutely does. It's indispensable. Sunday school ministry, laying the foundation of the groundwork of the heart, right? You know, I've been doing ministry about for 20 years. Sometimes I wonder, right? We talk about these stories or that stories, say like story of Elijah or New Testament stories. Do people know what we were talking about? Okay? A lot of times, these things need to be really grounded in early years and Sunday school years. And Timothy, from infancy, you have known the scripture. How did he know the scripture? You know how? Through mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. You know, grandmother and mother teaching the scripture to their children. Indispensable work of the Lord, okay? And here, again, the Holy Scripture refers to the Old Testament, Jewish Bible. And here's a question for you. Is understanding salvation through the Old Testament possible? That's a good question, isn't it? Reading story of David, story of Abraham, story of Israelites, story of, you know, all these stories in the Old Testament. Is it possible to lead to salvation? And the Bible says, yes, yes, okay? Yes is the answer, okay? And it's going to make you wise. You know, I was thinking about that. Without scripture, you are lovers of yourself. We are all lovers of ourselves. What kind of great things that we could come up with our own heart? People are pretty crazy. Without the wisdom and the teaching of the scripture, we come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. Crazy way of living. Crazy way of thing. But it makes you wise. Leading to salvation. Okay? So, I want to share how do we need to view the scripture. John Calvin, 16th century reformer, says something very, very big. Okay? Listen to what he says. We owe to scripture the same reverence that we owe to God. That's a big statement, isn't it? Right? We owe same reverence to God and the scripture. That's what he's saying. That's a big statement. And he gives the reason. It is because it has proceeded from him alone and has nothing belonging to man mixed with it. That's a kind of statement only John Calvin, someone like John Calvin could state. But what he's saying is that scripture, it came from no one else but from God alone. Therefore, we need to revere the Word of God. We need to have a reverence toward the Word of God as we revere God. God and Scripture in the same place. Okay? And think about it. Scripture makes you wise so that it leads to salvation. There is a direct correlation, Scripture is saying. Okay? So, Scripture needs to be opened. And I was thinking about this passage in Luke chapter 24. You know this story very well. This is the last episode of Luke's gospel. Okay? This is after Jesus died and he was raised that morning. On that first Easter Sunday morning, two disciples named Cleopas and another disciple were walking along toward Sidical Emmaus. And they were talking about, you know, the hot topic of Jesus. You know, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to restore the whole nation of Israel. He was going to be the king. But guess what happened? He died a few days ago. And some people say he was raised from the dead. And they were just talking and talking. And Jesus kind of sneaked up on them. Okay? Right here. Kind of sneaked up on them. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Do you see that? Do you see what's happening? And keep in mind, this is the last episode of the gospel. It's so interesting if you think about it, right? On first Easter Sunday morning, these two disciples, still not sure about resurrection, and Jesus, who was resurrected, kind of sneaked up on them and basically walked along with him. But it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. Okay, interesting expression. And Jesus kind of, you know, approached them and said, what are you guys talking about? And basically they said, what do you mean, what are you talking about? The hottest topic in Jerusalem. Jesus, we thought he was the Messiah, but he died 3 days ago, very, very miserably. But some people said, the tomb is empty and he was raised from the dead. Do you know what's going on? And then Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What is he saying? Is he taunting them? How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? What is he saying? If you read the Old Testament, that's the way Messiah is supposed to live. Suffering servant and then into glory. Didn't you know that? Right? And then he does something incredible. Jesus, resurrected Jesus, God, beginning with Moses and the prophet, which means the Old Testament, okay? Entire Old Testament, Jesus, explained to them what was said in the old scripture concerning himself. Do you see what's going on? Jesus is explaining entire Old Testament scripture, which is written about him, to these two disciples. Can you imagine then? See, you see this Abraham story? That was about me. Remember the story of Judah? You know, sleeping with his daughter-in-law? That's the story of me, right? You know the story of David and Bathsheba? That story of me. Do you know that? You know the story of Israelites and not listening to, not obeying God and, you know, sent to exile. That's a story about me. Right? Jesus was explaining everything concerning himself from the Old Testament, right? And it was getting so good. So disciples asked him, could you stay with us? Let's go to the hotel and let's sit down and let's talk about this. So they did, okay? And Jesus spent more time with them, and they were having a meal. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. Okay. Can you look at this? They were kept from recognizing Jesus, and now their eyes were opened and recognized him. Can I ask you, who kept them from recognizing Jesus? That's a good question, isn't it? And then, who opened their eyes to recognize Jesus? Okay, this is the last episode of Luke's gospel. And then Jesus disappeared. You know the story. And they were talking, Cleopas and the other disciple. They asked each other, why not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and when he opened the scripture to us? Do you know this story? I love this story. Right? When I look at this story, what really sticks out to me is they were not able to recognize him. And then when the scripture was opened, when Jesus talked to them through the scripture, their eyes were opened. So they were able to see Jesus. And here's my question for you. Okay. Do you see Jesus in the Bible? Do you recognize him? That's really the question I want to ask you. Do you see Jesus, right, in the scripture? Do you recognize him? If you don't, you know what I mean? What do you call people who their eyes are shut? Blind. Bible speaks about people being blind. Right? And the eyes were opened and recognized Jesus when the scripture was opened. There is an expression that says, open the scripture to us. Who did that? God did that. And I just pray that you would have a great desire to have scripture open to your life. Okay? Really open to your life. Is scripture open to you? Do you recognize Jesus? Right? When we say all scripture is God-breathed, what does that mean? It means inspired by God, or theopneustos, which literally means breathed out by God. Someone has a Bible? Yeah. Really old. When you open the scripture, God breathed to you. God breathed life unto you. When you open the scripture, right, God literally speaks to you. That's what it means. Theopneustos. God spoke to you. All scripture is God breathed. Okay? A few weeks ago in John chapter 20, remember? We talked about how Jesus appeared among the disciples who were fearful. And he showed up and basically says, as Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed upon them. What was that? Right? That's exactly what God does when you open the scripture. Okay? When you open the scripture. Okay? I'll get back to you, okay? A.W. Tozer said, God did not write a book and send it by messenger to read it at a distance by unaided minds. But he spoke a book, and he lives in his spoken words, and he's constantly speaking his words, and he's causing the power of them to persist across the years. Did you look at this? Okay. It's an incredible statement. God spoke pneumatos, right? God breathed and spoke a book, okay? And that's what the Bible is. Not only he spoke, but he lives in his spoken words. And he's constantly, he's speaking today, right now. Every morning, every day of your life, when you open the scripture, he speaks to you, right? And causing the power of them to persist across the years. Isn't that incredible, right? God spoke the book, and he lives inside the book. You can meet him when you open the scripture. You can meet him. How do you know the heart of God? How do you know the will of God? He speaks to you, right? He lives inside the scripture, right? And he is speaking today. He's speaking every day of your life when you listen to the word of God, okay? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, if you want to live as a man of God, okay, the scripture teaches, corrects, and rebukes, and trains in righteousness for you to live as a man of God. Can I just ask you, how many of you like teaching? Some people, right? How many of you like rebuking? How many of you like correction upon your life? How many of you like training? You like training? You know what? I was thinking about this. People don't like none of these, actually, according to my ministry experience. People don't like, well, teaching, I think they don't mind. But rebuking, correction, right? And training in righteousness. Through what? Through the scripture. I was thinking about who does this? Who teaches you, who rebukes you, who corrects you, and who trains you in your life? Can I just ask you, does anybody teach and train and correct and rebuke you? Does anybody? You know, when I think about my life experience, when I think about my ministry experience, only person who does that is good parents. Good parents. Not any parents. Good parents. Parents teach their little children. Parents corrects little babies, right? Parents rebukes, right? They don't hesitate. They're not fearful of their children, right? And parents train their children to go to bed on time, study, do your homework, all that training. Isn't that what you do as a parent? Absolutely, right? But what does that? Scripture does that. And that's the ministry of the church. Brothers and sisters, church needs to be like a parent and needs to continue to teach, correct, rebuke, and train people so that they will become men and women of God who will be equipped, thoroughly equipped, to be the man of God. Okay? But I think rebuking and correction is very difficult because we are so afraid of the people. People may leave the church, and people do actually. Right? But how do you make a man out of a person without correction and rebuking? Scripture does that. So that man of God may be thoroughly equipped. And there's so much to talk about this verse. Thoroughly equipped or complete. In other words, you mature. Without correction, without teaching, without rebuking, without training. How do you mature? And the answer is you don't. You do not mature, right? But scripture does that so that man of God or the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped or complete for every good work or God's word. You know, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, okay, there is a statement that church and the pastor's role of ministry is to equip the saints of God, which is you, equip the saints of God so that we may build the body of Christ or the church. Okay? In other words, the calling and the role of pastors and the church is to equip you. How do you do that? Through teaching ministry and some correction ministry, some rebuking ministry, some encouraging ministry through the word. I hope you get it. Okay? I'm going to skip this for next week. And here's the final passage that I want to share you. Are you saved? So blunt, right? Like, are you married? I don't think that's an offensive question. Are you married? So I want to ask you, are you saved? Do you have salvation in your life? I think I need to ask this question. And here's my question. Whose job is it? Is it God opening your eyes? Or is it your heart? Which is it? We already saw from Luke chapter 24, God needs to open his eye, open your eyes. We see that in Acts chapter 16. God needs to open the eyes of Lydia. God needs to do that. But what about our heart? Okay, so I want to share the parable of the sower. Okay, Luke chapter 8. And you know this parable really well. Kingdom of God is like this. Okay, Jesus told this parable. A farmer goes out and sows seed. And there are four different types of soil. First soil is the path. Some fell on path. So in other words, seed do not even penetrate. So seed just kind of hangs on top of the path. And what happens? Bird comes and take away the seed. Okay? The second soil is the rocky soil. There's a thin layer of soil. So the seed kind of fall on the soil. It quickly sprouts, but when scorching sun shines, it withers and dies because there is no moisture, and then there is no roots. Second soil. Third soil is thorny soil where there are thorns and thistles and seed. It grows and survives, but constantly being choked by thorns and thistles. Okay, third soil. And the last soil, of course, is good soil, and it grows and gave fruits 30, 60, and 100 folds. And Jesus explains it, okay? This parable, what does that mean, Jesus? And Jesus said, the seed is the word. Okay, look at this, please. Seed is the word, and soil is the heart. Whose heart? Your heart, my heart. Not someone else's. Don't think about anybody else's heart. Okay? Your heart and my heart. The first kind of soil is the path, impenetrable. Word is spoken. How many times you heard the gospel? How many times you heard the gospel in this church? But it's impenetrable. You know why? Because it's so hardened, so calloused. Seriously, what happens? Seed is there, and the birds. Satan comes and takes away the seed from you so that there is no salvation, Bible says. Okay? That's the first soil. Second soil is the rocky soil. Okay? And I think it covers whole lot of people, actually. People come back from a retreat or a mission trip with excitement. Word of God was spoken to them. Little bit of testing of life comes. It withers and dies. Right? Why? Because there's no moisture. Why? Because there's no roots. Because there's a rock there. Rock. Right? Without the roots, you cannot absorb the moisture so that you could live. Right? Second kind of soil. Third kind of soil is the thorny soil, which I think it covers whole lot of people in this generation, okay? Thorns and thistles, you are there, and the seed kind of like penetrates, grows, but it's always choked because thorns and thistles, okay? Thorns and thistles in life. What are thorns and thistles in life? Jesus said two things, okay? Worries about this life. Worries. What about worries? My job, my family, my future, my health, my relationship, worries of about life. And second thing is deceitfulness of wealth. People want to be rich. People want to get a better job. People move to better paying job. Doesn't matter whether I have to work another 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week, as long as I need money. Because I need it. How do you survive? Right? So you live, you survive, but because thorns and thistles in your life, you're always worrying, always deceited, that I want to get better clothing, better car, better house, whatever. You're always choked. The word is choked in the Bible. Choked. Your life is choked. Someone come and choke me. Right? So you're always choked. So what's the result? There is no strength and there is no fruit. That's the third category of the hearts. Right? And the last one, of course, don't need much explanation. It's the good soil. Okay? Good soil where the seed is sown and it sprouts and it gives fruits 30, 60, and 100 folds. Okay? I love this parable. I love this parable. Word is the seed and soil is the heart. And what kind of heart do you have? What kind of heart? Salvation or sanctification is definitely based on upon the hearts. That's why I'm emphasizing, starting from last year, December 31st, it's the heart. It's the word ministering to your heart. Your marriage depends on it. Absolutely. Your future depends on it. And in fact, your salvation depends on it. Right? And I'm going to leave path out, okay? The first soil, okay? Whatever the category you may be falling in right now, I'm going to leave that out. So calloused, okay? It doesn't even penetrate. But I want to talk about a little bit about rocky soil and thorny soils. If you feel like your heart is rocky, what are the rocks? Rock is something that blocks the root to go down, that for you to get deeper. Whatever that is in your life, I thought about. I don't know what that is. It may be your job. It may be your job. And I say this in light of him coming back. Right? Preach the word in season and out of season. Teach, correct, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay? If job hinders you from you getting deeper into Christ, maybe you should change a job. Okay? What about thorns and thistles? I think you could relate to most of that, right? All of us could relate to that. Thorns and thistles are deceitfulness of wealth and worries of life. What makes you worry? Right? Is worrying Christian activity? Is worrying godly thing? Worrying is opposite of faith. That's exactly what it is. Worrying is faith. Right? Worries of life. And just being one of rich, having more, desire more. I see over the years, people grow old, Christians grow old. That's what they want. Right? Until we kind of clarify that and kind of give up, you're just going to continue to live as a thorny soils. Okay? So here's a question for you. Does that mean we have to be born with good soil heart? Did any of you or me born with a good heart? We have no desire for wealth, and we have no worries in life. We have no rocks. Were you ever born? Is anybody born like that? I don't think so. Then what does that mean? Okay, does that mean we have to be born with this good soil? No, I don't think so. Then what is the key then? We're talking about farmer soil illustration. You know what the key is? The key word is cultivation. I think it's the cultivation as a farmer. Okay. To get the rocks out of our lives, okay, and thorns and thistles out of our hearts. How do you do that? That's the question, isn't it? And here's what I thought about, okay? It's the cultivation is primarily through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he's a person, okay? It's not another person, but it's the person of God in you, right? In your heart. And you need to see what goes on in your heart. How do you do that? When God opens your eyes to the scripture. When you sit quietly before the Lord. Then you begin to see what's going on. Oh, that rock. Okay. You put it down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, that thorns continue to choke my life as the scripture opens and speaks to you. Holy Spirit, I'm going to pull it out and put it at the foot of the cross. Okay? I think this needs to take place. We call that repentance. Okay, repentance. Otherwise, your heart do not change. It gets tangled up. It gets so messy. Have you ever seen a back lawn that hasn't been taken care of for a few years? Dandelions and God knows what's going on. Right? Your heart. Okay? And as the scripture is open and he breathed life unto us, oxygen unto us, he breathed hope unto us, he breathed simplicity unto us, he breathed love of God unto us, he breathed his majesty and greatness unto us, and he breathed his glorious cross unto us. Will your heart change? Absolutely, I believe. Absolutely. Last point I want to make is, it is about your heart, my heart, falling in love. Heart is about love. We are always in love. Did you know that? Our heart is always in love. Love with yourself or love with God, right? How do you do that? John Stott recently passed away from England. Okay, he's a 20th century man because he recently passed away. He wrote, "A man who loves his wife will love her letters and her photographs." You see where this is going, right? Because they speak to him of her. So, if we love the Lord Jesus, we shall love the Bible because it speaks to us of him. Right? And I think it goes back and forth, vice versa. If we love him, we will love his letters, her letters and photographs. But looking at the letters and photographs, you fall in love with him. With her, excuse me. It goes vice versa. Knowing him is to love him. It's been said all along in this church, and that's what I believe. We do not love him because we don't know him. Because if you know him, you will love him. If you know the word and quietly sit before him, you will fall in love with him. We are always in love. Did you know that? Whether with yourself or with God. Okay? One more. Sorry about this. This means Psalms right here. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinner, and sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Okay? It says, this is like the sign of entire Psalm. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man. What's the greatest blessing? Does not walk in the way of sinners. Or you stand, okay, the way of sinners, excuse me, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinner, or sit in a seat of mockers. Do you see the progression? Walking, standing, and sitting. Okay, wicked people, sinner people, and mocker scoffers. By the way, do you know what mockers are, scoffers are? These are the people who sit down and criticize others, pointing fingers at others. Bible says that's opposite of blessing. You know why people live like that? Because they're foolish. You know why? Because the word of God is not alive in their hearts. Because if it is, you will not do that. Right? But then he concludes. The Bible concludes. The psalmist concludes. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. That's the blessing. Okay? That's the blessing. Greatest blessing. I want to finish today's message about Holy Scripture with one last question. And I thought about this question this morning. How's your appetite? How's your appetite? People say, it's fine. Yeah. How's your appetite for the Word? Because the first thing that goes when you lose your health is your appetite, isn't it? The first thing that goes when you get sick is your health, is the appetite. Okay. And I just pray that God will give you appetite, hunger and thirst for the living Word of God in your life. Okay, because 10 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know where you're going to be. I don't know where I'm going to be. But I pray that you'll be walking with the Lord. And that's going to happen only when the Scripture is really open to you and He breathed unto you, because He lives in here. He lives in here. And began to empower you. Okay? Let's pray.